Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's B-Y-T-E.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
John, have scale we not, of 1 to 10, how drunk are you?
I'm not really drunk yet, which might surprise those of you who might not have listened to Thursday's Another Shot, but Darren brought us moonshine from her friend.
At St. Luna, which is
and I finished
such
my drink.
Smooth.
Yeah.
But you never finish a drink unless it's like some chocolatey fucking whatever the
which
fuck.
We're having
which
today.
We're having today. So yeah. I came back with punishment on another shot to say you're going to drink this on the rocks.
Yeah.
Have any of us seen in like over 100... Oh my God, the rim?
Yes.
Have any of us seen John drink a drink so quickly on the rocks? I mean, I think that just goes to show how great the moonshine is.
That's what I was going to say. The moonshine was amazing. St. Luna, which your friend sent over to us. I'm taking a picture of this because I'm so excited.
Wow. Wow.
I'm forgetting the name of it, Matt. Do you know the name of this drink? Anyway, I'm drunk on moonshine before we even hit record, so that's
let me just say,
happening.
And I'm going to try and describe this as best as possible with being the most sexual as possible. The chocolate rim,
yes,
is delicious.
It looks
looking.
Do you like chocolate rims?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Look at that. That's your boss.
That's my boss right there. And
that's,
listen,
that's supposed to pave the way for the future. Cocktail.
By the way, listen to the end of Thursday's episode to hear what my boss said about me, which was very shocking.
There's that
that's
too.
That's a good tease.
By the time you hear this, it's former boss.
That's true. That's right.
Yeah, right.
We're all. He's been escorted out of the building for that.
My ex-boss. Matt, what are we drinking? Does it relate to the case, or were you just trying to please your employee, John?
Well, that's a good
John
point.
Requested that we make a chocolate-covered strawberry shooter.
Is this for Valentine's Day?
Kind of. What happened was, I'm trying to find it. I should have prepped better. But a listener of the show in our Facebook group posted this drink recipe.
And I the strawberry.
And I saw it, and I was like, I must have this. It is not an option to not have it.
Mm-hmm.
Sent it over to Matt a few weeks ago, and I was like, can we do this pretty please? Because listen, the moonshine and everything that... knocks me out at least has been great.
Do you have the listener?
I'm looking it up right now.
Find it because we should shout them out.
Yeah.
And you read it and you just saw the picture and you were like, yes.
And I was like, if this can happen, I would like for it to happen. And that's really the story. I'm trying to find out.
And
who
you
it
mentioned
was.
This in another shop, but you basically asked for Matt about it weeks ago. And then a few minutes before recording, what happened, Matt? Couldn't find the ingredients or something that you knew about a couple weeks? Just playing with a tissue.
So I went to the liquor store and I said, and we needed Godiva.
That's
And I said, you know, where's the Godiva? I looked around, I didn't see it. And he said, oh, we stopped carrying that a long time ago.
But then.
And he had all this attitude. And I was like,
well, because like, you
what's
should know.
Wrong with Godiva? I don't know.
But then you did come over and you asked.
We also
Gina,
have a Godiva in 30 Rock.
That's true. There is a Godiva downstairs. But. Do they sell liquor? They probably don't sell liquor. Yeah.
I doubt it.
But Matt asked us, and then Gina was like, actually, and Gina, we should take a picture of Gina's desk, which
No, it's absurd.
Most people's desks at work are maybe full of like books and notebooks and computers.
She has books.
She does have books. But I'm saying like things you might need for work. And it's literally a shelf full of everything we've ever drank on the show. And it's hilarious.
Matt,
but
maybe you need to post it on your Instagram as like behind the scenes with Gina Staff Boozer. Because like you need to see her.
It's amazing.
It's It gives me so much agita. It kills my OCD.
But then Gina was like, pulls up a little thing. She's like, here you go. I have it right here. And she had a whole thing of Godiva liqueur,
it's
right?
It's amazing.
Amazing. Yeah. So I found the person, Kylie Bumgartner. Thank you so much,
thanks, Kylie,
for this recipe suggestion. You know me well to post it. Now, is the chocolate rim like...
How did you do the chocolate rim?
Yeah, how did you do this?
Well,
should we cheers, bitch, first?
Yeah. Cheers, bitch, so that way we can drink it while you're describing the chocolate rim.
All right, fair enough. Cheers, bitches.
How many times can we get chocolate rim in this?
Yeah.
Cheers, bitch.
Cheers, Megan even has it. All right.
Yeah. So the delicious chocolate rim is made of 1/4 cups of chocolate chips melted in the microwave, and then you just dip the cup in it. That's very easy, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The rest of the drink is just 3 ounces of strawberry milk, 3 ounces of white chocolate liqueur. We use
Godiva, of course,
and 1 ounce of vodka and strawberries for garnish. Now, I changed the recipe to put equal vodka because there was much less vodka. I'm like, it's that much strawberry milk, that much chocolate liqueur. It's too much.
You're right.
Cut it with some vodka.
It's a lot.
That would be my recommendation as a professional bartender.
As a professional. Well, Matt, thank you. I'm so excited, and I just took a sip, and it is delicious. Megan, what do you think, too? Good?
No, fantastic, it's good. She says.
Yeah.
It's smooth and good. I keep thinking I have, like, chocolate on my lips, though, because of the way the rim is.
Yeah, yeah.
So just tell me if I do.
No, it's fine if you do.
Yes.
All right, well, that's the drink of the week. Darren, shall we get into this very complex case today?
Yes, we shall.
Okay.
I am going to start it off.
Okay, go ahead and start it right on off for
us. I was texting someone about how
great... That's okay. I was trying to keep it going while you were...
I was texting someone named Andy Cohen.
Oh, what's he up to today?
You know what? Andy Cohen is fighting surrogacy laws in Albany
State.
That's
fucking
right.
In
Albany right now, in our state capital. So I got to give it up to my man for actually fighting for something good. So we were talking about work. I apologize.
No, that's fine. And by the way, it was...
But good for him.
It was recently Ben, his son's birthday, right? Like last week or the week before?
I watched the Super Bowl at his apartment.
Mm-hmm.
It was a Super Bowl / first birthday party, and aww, it was so fun. He's so cute, and he's my little bubba bubba. Okay, so who is Reggie Day? On April 3rd, 2011, in Durham, North Carolina, Carlos Wilson Sr. got an unexpected knock on his door late at night. Don't know about you.
Nope.
Maybe just because I'm a woman.
No.
Anybody that's unexpected knocking at my fucking door at any time in any hotel, I'm not picking that up. No. I'm not answering the door.
No, that happened to me in my new apartment. I was listening to Howard Stern on my phone out loud in my new bedroom. I had just moved in. I was only a few weeks old at this apartment. And I heard a knock really hard on my front door of my apartment at like 2 a.m. on like a Friday or Saturday night, which I'm always up. I'm a night owl. And I was like, oh my God, who the fuck would be knocking on my door right now?
Right.
And I turn off Howard Stern. I run out and I'm like, you know, I'm like doing like the, if you live in New York, you know what I'm talking about. You like tiptoe to the door because you don't want them to know you're
in
there.
But like in New York, you're like, it's the floor is creaking because everything, every like apartment is so shit.
Right, exactly. Right. And then, like, I don't hear anything for a couple of seconds. And then another loud rapture at the door.
Like, boom, boom, boom.
Yes, while I'm standing right in front of it. And I go, like this. And I'm, like, freaking out.
No, that was a really good fake out.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
So I go back. I'm like, I'm not answering that. And I, like, scurry away into my room, turn Howard back on. And then they're pounding on my wall. And I realize it's because my phone is so loud. At 2 o'clock in the morning, John, why didn't you have headphones on? That they were annoyed because there's something about the iPhone, like the speaker in the iPhone can really carry like through a wall in particular.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, sorry. Like I realized what was happening,
wait,
but
did
it
you
scared
say sorry?
The I did. I kind of like yelled it through the wall. I was
that's
terrified.
Like so nerve wracking.
I know. Sorry to do that right at the top of the show, but it was like really interesting.
No, we're one detail
yeah,
in.
Exactly.
No,
it's
fine.
Yeah.
So we got an unexpected, you know, Reggie got an unexpected late night knock on his door. It was his uncle, 46-year-old Reginald Day, who lived just a couple doors down from him. Okay?
Okay.
So Carlos's uncle is Reginald Day.
Got it.
Reginald was bleeding from somewhere under his arm.
Mm-hmm.
Carlos explained, quote, Reginald was bleeding a whole lot. It wasn't like it was pouring out, but it was too much at that time for him to be losing. I tried to keep him as conscious as I could. You know, I talked to him, try to calm him down, end quote. You know, like when you get a head injury and they're like, don't fall asleep, don't fall asleep, don't fall asleep. That's how I'm viewing this kind of is.
Yeah, yeah.
So when Carlos said he should call 911, Reginald tried to claim it wasn't that bad. But it appeared he had been stabbed between the ribs, and Carlos didn't know how deep the cut was. I certainly wouldn't know. My depth perception is highly off, especially for cuts.
Yeah, yeah.
Carlos tried to hold the wound and keep Reggie calm so he wouldn't bleed out. First responders showed up and immediately got Reggie to the hospital. Reggie was born in 1964, just outside Durham, North Carolina. Carlos described him as a country boy who liked the outdoors and fishing. He also said, occasionally, he'd like him a Budweiser.
It's an interesting quote.
Which we call Bud Heavy, because it ain't Bud Light.
Got it.
Instead of going to college, Reggie painted houses, and he always said, quote, you can never go wrong with learning a trade, no matter what the trade may be, end quote. Let me just stop there.
Go ahead.
Because I fully believe in this, and yeah. I feel like the more and more people are misspending their money on college. College is not for everyone. I do not believe, and this is coming from someone with a college degree, I do not believe that everything that you want to do in life requires you to go into debt and spend $200,000. I believe a trade, an apprenticeship can go, you can go a lot farther. This is why plumbers make a lot of money, because you're always going to need a plumber. Yeah. You know, you're always going to need someone in IT or something like that. It's a very valuable trade to have, and it's a valuable skill.
I did want to mention quickly, I'll leave all of the beer things to the lesbian of the show, like nicknames, because I have no idea.
Thanks for stereotyping my entire sexuality.
And thank you for having that, bringing that experience to the show.
Yeah, ma'am. That's why you hired me. Yeah. I had diversity.
We need that.
Yep. Well, he was a simple guy and with a straightforward life and was looking, you know, for someone to share it with, I think, as we most are. He finally got his chance not too long ago in 2011. While doing some work for a friend, he met a woman named Crystal who was 14 years younger.
Okay.
Okay. So he's like, let's see, he was born in 1964. In 2011, he was what, 36 plus 11 is 47.
Okay.
So if she was 14 years younger, 34. So it's fine.
Right.
Right? Not that bad. 34, 33.
That sounds right. Okay. Right?
So Krista was a...
I majored in English. Keep going.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
Krista was a bit more of a city girl. See, not everyone needs a college degree. Krista was a bit more of a city girl, despite coming from a humble family of three children, supported by a father who was a truck driver and a mom who was a homemaker.
Very humble kind of roots, I guess you
absolutely.
Could say.
She was a single mother of three who had moved in with her aunt in 2010 to try to make things a little easier. And that's where she met Reginald Day while he was painting the house and doing some handyman work.
That reminds me.
What? Oh my God. I just got reminded of something too.
My mom used to hire a guy to come mow the lawn because our yard was like on
a... Is that what we call it?
On a hill.
He's so drunk. Look at him.
And he was so hot.
Stop, John.
And I was
Stop
so...
Talking, John.
I was in high school.
John.
He was a middle-aged man. And
this is something that we
he was like 47.
You were 33.
Yeah, I was 33.
This is, he majored in English.
I was 14.
This is something you don't hear in the lesbian community.
What?
You're like, she was so hot. She was 65.
He wasn't that old. I mean, he was a, like, you know,
no,
30, 40 something.
Well, I will say, just to bring it back to my girlfriend Carson, I will say her first crush, because like when we were talking, like, how do you know you're gay?
I know who my first crush
And she was like, oh, my mom's best friend. She was like, oh, I had the total hots for her, you know, like a 45-year-old woman when she was like seven. I was like, what the fuck? Then I was watching the Oscars this weekend in her apartment, and she goes into the closet and she starts painting her door. And I was like, I looked at her and I was like, oh, you're hot when you do handiwork.
Oh, yeah,
I was like,
see?
You're hot. And she was like, you know me, you're such a handyman. And it was just like reminding, you know, it's like she meets this guy who's doing all this handiwork. And I'm like, Carson's like, dee, 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 with like a little, like a little,
like a little
brush.
Sponge.
I have the best handiwork story of all time.
Okay.
I'm not going to. I do. I promise you I do.
He must trump us.
I am not going to tell the story right now. But I will say this.
Great listener experience.
I was a handy person. I worked for a senior handy person.
I was going to say, please don't tell me.
Handy person business.
Hold on. You worked for a senior handy person.
Well, he was my senior. He's my boss.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
Like an apprenticeship.
He wasn't a senior. Yeah. I mean, I was in college. I needed money.
Okay. All right. Okay. Because the way it came out, was like he's working in an elderly home.
No. Sorry.
Just hope he didn't mow the lawn.
We drove way out. We worked in the hills, in the mountains, basically.
In Cumberland.
And there was
the sacrifices
hickiest,
you have made for Matt.
The hickiest people that we worked with.
Okay.
And I heard about a story. No one was telling me the story. I just overheard the story about their mutual friend who fucked sheep.
Oh my God.
Is that where Matt, the story was going to go?
That was not even remotely what I thought was coming out.
Is that
out
the
of
story
his...
you weren't going to tell? Are we or the story you going to tell? Because you told it.
I don't
tell
think
it
we can
tell
it.
Another
this.
Time. It's too long. It's very detailed. About
and by
how
the
it's
way,
done.
Illegal.
By the way, that's how fucking
I'm not
like SARS
it's
and shit gets spread.
I'm not condoning it. I'm not condoning it. I'm just saying. How could I not?
That's how the coronavirus how started.
Literally.
How could I not chime in with the story of my own personal experience?
But that's,
here's the clue. Don't chime in.
Here's that's just the thing. There is no story, Matt.
Right.
That's
but
the
he's
thing.
Like, I'm not going to tell you a story, but my friend fucks sheep. Okay, like, keep going.
He's like, how can I chime in about the story that I'm not going to tell?
Yeah, like.
All right.
I don't know what to say.
I don't know. We're likely. I don't know that we can even say F sheep on the show.
Like, if
I
we
don't
had a
think...
buzzer, like a light, every time yeah. the lawyer. Like, I want the lawyer and I want HR to be yeah. on the line because the lights would be fucking flashing
oh God.
Like goddamn KFC Vegas up
Beyond,
in here.
I think she just hung up and she's coming down to have him escorted.
No,
out of
yeah,
the building.
It's done.
All right, let's
All right,
try to
your
get
your former
through.
Boss said some inappropriate things.
Yes, twice in one day. It's fine.
So Crystal meets Reginald okay, while he's doing yes. handiwork on That's the right. house that she lives in with her aunt.
Right. No okay. sheep are involved, as far as we know.
As okay. of right now of this telling All the story,
right.
no.
All right, let's see where
Reginald
it goes.
And Crystal hit it off in a friendly way, and Reggie abruptly invited her and the kids to move into his home.
That's a lot.
Red flag. This Red was flag. A lesbian thing. Red she had flag. Opened up to Reggie about feeling like she was a burden to her aunt by living, you know, there with her kids, which yeah. makes sense. And Reggie had let her know he was struggling a bit to pay his rent. So, you know, oftentimes in New York City, as you know, everything is expensive here and we talk about it.
Yeah.
And the advice I always give to my friends who are thinking about moving in with their significant other, their number one reason is like, well, we'd save money on rent.
That was my reason.
Never a fucking I reason know. To move in with your significant other. I mean, I think I told you that at the same time. I was
you
like,
did.
I probably said not should not be the main reason.
Well, listen, we moved in 7 months after we met.
I mean.
And it was a great financial situation for a couple years.
Let's pretend like I didn't. Let's pretend yeah. I forgot that detail. Yeah. I did not forget yeah. that detail. Yeah. I'm holding it over against you forever.
That's
like,
fine.
Because I am amazing.
Yes,
and
you are.
I am the knower of all knowledge.
No, that we know.
That we know. Yeah. That we know. Yeah. But I will say it should never be the first yes. or the sole reason.
I'm just thinking back to like conversations I had with him, but yes, I agree with you.
You would agree
yes,
with me after
I agree
no
with
after being this.
No, I'm kind of joking. I mean, it was definitely not just that, and it yeah. wasn't the sole reason by
and
any
you
means.
You only murdered a few people while you lived together
it's
and
just,
hid them
yeah,
together.
Well,
only
that's
a
true.
Few. It wasn't like a mass exodus no. of humans. It was no. a couple, five, no. eight. Not a big deal.
Something like that.
But, you know, yeah. it happens in New York City a lot more than yeah. other places because people can barely afford to live
I know,
here.
Yeah.
And so those things get rushed. It happens all the time.
Yeah, I mean, that's, I mean, I'll be a, I, you know, I was kind of like closed off about my relationship on this show, but I'm completely fine now and I would love to talk about it. But yeah, I mean, especially in New York, like Matt was saying, it's just, you know, when you end up spending so much time and I know, Darren, like you've talked about your relationship and how you guys have separate places. You know, you guys aren't rushed to move in with each other, but when you spend so much time in some person's apartment and you're kind of like looking at the situation and it's like, well, we spend all day together anyway.
Yeah.
It just kind of makes sense. And you could save a couple hundred, maybe even $1,000 by eliminating the roommate situation. Mm. You know, it does kind of make sense, but
I know it does.
Yeah.
Certainly there are times when Carson is away that if yeah. we moved in, it would make my life so
well, right,
much
right.
easier because I'm the one that has to sacrifice because mm-hmm. I don't have that. You have chocolate on your nose, which is adorable right
Wonderful.
Now. It's adorable. Yeah, it hit the rim. No, right here. It's so cute. Yeah, you got it. It's like the cutest thing I've
From
ever seen
rim.
In my entire yeah. fucking night. Like
Megan's so sweet. She was about to hand me a tissue.
I know. But he
we
just,
don't pay you for that, Megan.
He'll just wipe it off his nose like his hands.
Yeah.
This is and not a high profile operation. Yeah. But I will say it's me who has to sacrifice because I have to go there. And so I will
Which
say that
away.
A lot of times it's like, ugh, I wish we just lived together.
Yeah.
So I understand
All right. Well,
point.
Fair enough. Maybe one day. Let's keep going. Anyway, so it could have been a win-win for everyone, as we were just kind of mentioning. She, by the way, this isn't set in New York City, right? So we're just talking about our New York City experiences ourselves.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, this is in North Carolina,
yeah.
baby.
So she moved in with the three kids within days of meeting him. Journalist told Snapped, quote, not only does he open his apartment to her, but he gives her and her daughters a bedroom, gives the son a bedroom. He's sleeping on the couch. It seems like he's bending over backwards. to accommodate her, end quote. That's pretty selfless if you're going to sleep on the couch so everyone can have a bedroom.
It's very, very nice. But for the children.
Yeah, that's nice.
I do see like wanting to sacrifice.
Oh my God.
That.
When I was a kid, like my bedroom was my nest, like my sanctuary to get away from everybody.
Still is.
But soon Reggie wasn't just sleeping on the couch because a romance started. A friend of Crystal said, quote, he was not bad on the eyes and he was a good guy. He worked hard, end quote. Still waiting for someone to say that about me, but it's fine. He was also good with the kids.
Okay, yeah, no, we're waiting.
Reggie's nephew, hopefully it's David Archuleta.
Cue the cricket sound effect, Megan.
Reggie's nephew said he loved the kids and bonded with them and tried to do whatever he could to make them feel welcomed. Reggie's nephew also said, quote, he wanted a long-term relationship. He didn't want that fly-by-night. He was tired of that. He wanted to settle. That's what he was looking for, end quote. Listen, Valentine's Day just went by, you know, yep. I'm kind of feeling that, yep. feeling him on that one. But let's go back to Reggie being on his way to the hospital, because remember, we opened with all of that drama at the very top of the show. He was admitted into Duke University Hospital emergency room with a deep knife wound. Several organs, including his colon, spleen, and kidney, had been slightly nicked by the knife.
Whoa!
And he was rushed into surgery. By the way, colon, spleen, and kidney are not organs
That's
to
like
fuck with.
That's like the ultimate knife. Like, yeah, you hit every, it's like the trifecta.
Yeah.
And remember, in the beginning, he was saying, like, ah, it's not that bad.
Yeah, right. He's like, I don't
That's
need to.
That's a very interesting fact.
Yeah, I agree. Well, cops walked over to his residence, and they found it had been totally trashed. Reggie's nephew said, quote, I'm like the Tasmanian devil just went through here. The TV, the tables, the furniture, the crystal glasses, shot glasses, everything in the living room was destroyed, end quote. A crime scene investigator said, quote, there was blood on a couch. There was a knife stabbed into one of the arms of the couch. You could see there was. You know, some blood drops down the hall. There was a door to the bathroom that had been violently removed from the hinges. You could see, like, hair that was pulled out and was laying on the floor.
Just aggression. That's what I'm hearing.
End quote.
Are we starting to age out of the people understanding what a Tasmanian devil is?
Maybe.
Probably.
Like, Looney Tunes isn't a thing anymore for the younger generations, right? So it's like, for us, we know Tasmanian Devil.
Which was a cartoon.
Like, and he was always like running through the... He was being
destroying everything.
And it was like the graphic of him as a cartoon was literally as like a tornado.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, like he was like a human or but if you an said animal to, twister.
Yes,
right?
A twister. Yeah. But if you said to Maggie and Miles, what's a Tasmanian Devil?
They would have no idea.
They would have no idea. Looney Tunes is not a thing now.
And I feel like even when we were young, it was kind of starting to age out a touch, you know?
But like, we know Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote. We know Pink Panther, you know? It's like, it's funny that...
Oh, I loved Pink Panther.
I know.
Oh, we're probably not
allowed to sing.
But I will say this. I remember being in like middle school. This is kind of embarrassing. This is a lot of personal tangents
we're
today.
We're really going
It
in.
Is what it is.
We're drunk.
It's the moonshine.
Yeah, it's the moonshine. I remember looking at a map of the world and seeing Tasmania and being like, oh my God, this map put like a fake country on here. Like, because I thought the Tasmanian devil was like a fictional thing and from a fictional world. And I had no idea it was like there's an actual animal that is a Tasmanian devil. Did you know that, by the way? It's like an actual animal?
Yeah, from Tasmania, which is an island off of Australia.
When I was in sixth grade, I had no idea.
Well, I think when I was in sixth grade, I had no idea. But now I know that it's referencing something, which just goes to show how much you can absorb
I know.
From programming. Culture. And I mean this, like, legitimately. Like,
I
learned a lot about the world through Carmen Sandiego.
Oh, me too. Oh, my God. I loved Carmen Sandiego.
And the video game, the computer game.
The computer game. We should talk about
that. Let's get back to the murder.
Yeah, let's get back to it. Too many tangents today.
Too many.
Well, investigators.
I'd like to talk about Popeye the Sailor Man for 5 hours.
He's like, I ate my spinach.
My
I'll talk about olive oil.
Olive oil?
Time.
Listen, Brutus. Yeah. Okay, Brutus.
Ow.
Okay, Brutus. I'll see you at the Eagle
here
in New York. Anyway, Megan.
That
got
was
that.
A very esoteric.
It was. Investigators started trying to piece together the situation. As we said, the whole place was destroyed. It looked as if there had been a lot of violence, and police wondered if another victim might be out there. But Reggie's nephew told them that Reggie had said it had just been a fight between himself and his girlfriend, Crystal. Police asked her for her last name, and Reggie told them it was Mangum.
Okay.
A local journalist said, quote, here in Durham, North Carolina, everybody knows who Crystal Mangum is, end quote. The police were shocked.
So you grew up in a little bit of a smaller town.
I
grew up in a suburb of New York City. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, in high school, you know, I went to a bigger high school than I did college. Certainly people might be like, oh, Darren, I know her. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't like, oh, we all know who this person is.
Yeah.
Was that common for you? Like, someone said a name, you were like, ugh. Harry.
Well, you know, yes, I would say if you've lived there a long time, then yes, because when I moved away for college and then moved up to New York City after, now I don't recognize nearly as many names as I would. I don't live there, so that makes sense. But my last name in particular is like the only family in the town, basically, that has my last name, of course.
Great last name.
Thank you. So anyone who talks about Thrasher kind of knows what family that is. But if it's like a Smith, you know, that's different. But Crystal here, her last name being Mangum, isn't very popular. So yeah, I could see it being totally recognizable.
Right, it's not like a John Smith.
Yeah, exactly.
So who is Crystal Mangum? Why the fuck does everyone know about her in
why?
This town?
Yeah.
So in 1993, when Crystal was 14 years old, she claimed that her boyfriend and two other guys, okay, she's 14, right?
Yeah, 14.
Two other guys kidnapped her, took her to a house outside of Durham, raped her, okay? This was according to Fox News.
That's crazy.
She claimed her boyfriend had been emotionally and physically abusive, according to Fox. Now, understand that when I say she claimed, it's because it was a claim.
Yeah.
And so I'm not going to say it was definitive one way or the other. You know, there's a lot of pop culture references now about believe all victims and this and that. We're just reporting what we know.
Mm-hmm.
There's no bias or judgment with what we say.
Right.
So she filed a report with the police 3 years after the alleged rape, which is always very tough. And I think that's one of the, because you can't, you know, it's a he said, she said, doing it 3 years later. Always tell someone if you were ever raped. Tell someone if you were sexually assaulted immediately. These are how we get these people behind bars.
Mm-hmm.
Her relative said she backed away from charges, though, because she feared for her life. Also a real thing.
I was going to say, which a lot of sexual assault victims do.
100%.
Yeah.
Her mom believed a rape occurred, but her dad said he does not believe that a rape occurred. Now, I know what you're thinking already, but let's see how the story plays out here. However, Crystal's father did say that she saw a psychiatrist after the alleged rape because trauma had left her suicidal.
Mm.
So Crystal got engaged in high school, which is a very, very, very young.
Yeah, that's
fair. After graduating in 1996, her then fiance encouraged her to join the Navy because she wanted to, quote, see the world.
Fair enough. That's a good way to do it.
Not a bad way to do it. She married her fiance, but being away at sea began to strain the relationship naturally.
Mm-hmm.
In 1998, according to Fox News, she accused her husband of taking her into a wooded area and threatening to kill her, which he has denied doing. When she failed to appear at a court hearing, the complaint was dismissed.
Wow.
Okay. But again, there's a number of factors of maybe why she didn't appear in court. So take this all with a, you know, just be open-minded here. Her husband at the time denied that this incident ever happened. And Crystal and her husband separated after 17 months of marriage. Now, that still beats Pamela Anderson's marriage, which I believe was 12 days.
Yeah, I was going to say, very short recently.
Which even beats Kim Kardashian's married to Chris Humphries, which I believe was 72 days.
Yeah, something like a couple months, right.
So, again, people like...
Perspective.
Life is short, but like lifetime. That same year, Crystal became pregnant by a sailor. She would actually end up having a son and daughter with him.
Oh.
He seemed like a great catch to her until she found out he was actually married.
Oh, that little detail.
And tiny little detail. A friend said, quote, he was married at the time. So, you know, that's not looked upon favorable when you're in the Navy. And that spiraled into her actually being discharged. But she wasn't dishonorably discharged. She was honorable discharged. So, you know, it was what it was.
Mm.
You know, again, like... I'm not here to tell anyone that how they should live their life, but in the Navy and when you're in the military or you're in this office of the Army, there's a certain conduct under which you need to conduct yourself and there's a certain expectation.
Oh, yeah.
So those things matter to the appearances of the soldiers and the people fighting for
us. Well, and it also matters for your benefits, like your retirement benefits and stuff like that. So that, I just know this because of someone I know who was a Marine. And if you are like dishonorably discharged, you don't get the same benefits if you were honorably discharged.
Which is a lot of why, you know, gay rights has really come into
Absolutely.
A prominent forefront and don't ask, don't tell. And so this is why that's involved, because there's a certain decorum you need to conduct yourself
for
with.
For sure, yeah.
So she returned to Durham to be close to her parents for help with the kids and then went back to school. She managed to earn an undergraduate psychology degree and was pursuing her master's. Great for her. To make ends meet while she was in school, Crystal became an exotic dancer. She Crystal's friend told Snap, quote, that's something that she chose to do because you can make $300-$400 in an hour's worth of work, end quote. Which is why I never, like, people always look down on that as an industry or sex work,
know.
And I never do. Like, my dad always said to me, and I've said this, he's like, if you are happy being a stripper, I'm happy for you. Like, if you want to make money earning your living, as long as you're happy and you're being safe, I'm happy for you.
Well,
and
also,
I understand that.
She has two kids. So, like...
You gotta earn money.
I mean, especially, I feel like, if there's kids involved and...
Are you justifying this for yourself, Matt? You're like, yeah, I strip on the weekends.
I'm going to put Maddie Miles in debt in 2 seconds.
$400
listen, if I
hour,
had the body, listen, I would be out there making that kind of...
$400, do you think I could do that?
Well, listen, let's not give him any ideas. Let's move on.
Sure.
Let's move on. But Matt made a good point. You're right. Let's not look down at any kind of sex work or any kind of stripping.
Unless it's bad sex work, in which case we 100% look down on
we're
that.
We're very much against. And again, he'll get escorted out of the
we
building.
We look down
for
on
that.
Her on his yes. clients.
Yes.
That's
exactly.
what we're trying to say. Yeah. No one else.
Three different reasons to be escorted out today.
Well, Crystal finally had some breathing room with the finances and could help support her son and daughter, which is amazing. But
yeah,
she did
great.
Have a bit of a wild side that got the better of her at times. Fox News reported that in June 2002, she was arrested on a multitude of charges while working in a topless dance club called Diamond Girls.
Darren loves it there. You have a subscription membership.
Go there every day. Mm-hmm. According to police, she removed a customer's keys to his taxi cab while giving him a lap dance, then stole the taxi while he was in the bathroom. Police chased her at speeds up to 70 miles per hour, frequently in the wrong lane. And when an officer tried to approach her, she barely missed running him over and struck his patrol car. Instead, she tried to escape again, but a flat tire ended the second leg of her getaway. Finally, in custody, she was found to have a blood alcohol content of 0.19, and the state
pretty
limit,
high.
As you know, is 0.09, so it's more than double.
0.08, actually.
0.08, excuse me.
That's
0.08.
What John has right now.
Yeah, that's what I listen.
I do, because I'm getting the numbers wrong. While being questioned, Mangum passed out and was taken to the hospital, end
oh
quote.
My God.
However, an event 4 years later would make Crystal Mangum infamous on a national scale.
We haven't even dug into this woman yet. This is insane.
Did any of you see Hustlers?
I haven't seen it. I was thinking of it, though.
I haven't seen it yet, but you know that story
of,
like, you know, the sex, the strippers or whatever. I'm thinking of this.
It's the same thing.
Yeah.
It's funny because just a second ago, we were like, good for her. She's making money for her kids.
And
then
and
she's
like, oh,
stealing
damn.
A taxi on a highway going 70 miles per hour.
Yeah, right.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Whether you're working out, walking, or running errands, Audible can help you keep your heart rate up month after month with their pulse-pounding collection of thrilling audiobooks that you can't hear anywhere else. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, which includes thousands of titles. This month, check out the Audible original, The Space Within. It's a chilling 8-part story about a psychiatrist, Dr. Maddie Weil, voiced by Academy Award winner Jessica Chastain, who is tasked with unlocking the memories of a child who went missing for 7 hours. Maddie soon discovers that there are more who have faced similar experiences, and the truth of what is happening to them may impact the fate of humankind. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500. That's audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500.
Well, on March 13th, 2006, she was booked for an off-campus party thrown by members of the Duke University lacrosse team. Vanity Fair wrote, quote, "One of the supposed highlights of the party was to be a performance by two exotic dancers that the players had hired for a total of $800. Crystal Mangum, a single mother of two children and a student at the nearby North Carolina Central University, also in Durham, was one of them," end quote.
Yeah, and let me just interrupt because we said that she was a mother of three before.
That's right.
So we kind of went back in time.
Right,
so
this is 2006.
Point, she's a mother of two.
Exactly.
And she's going to have another baby at some point. Yes.
Very well
Dare
said.
I say, good point, take a
How
drink.
How is Matt
I don't
the
know.
Sober one?
I know, I'm like kind of stumbling and like I keep staring at my empty glass and I'm like, no, not for a refill. I mean, I'll have a refill.
Yeah.
I
no,
just mean
he's
like,
having a refill.
Okay, fine.
It's called Martinis and Murder.
That's true, you're right. Martinis with an S at the end.
I'll get John a refill. I just...
What were you doing?
What?
What are you doing?
I... I think that John is so loose and on point right now, and I'm like actually worried I'm gonna put him over the fucking edge.
No, you're right. Maybe I should just hold out.
He's so good right
now.
No,
thank you.
Don't hold out. The reason he's good is because he's had two drinks. Needs more because when he's fucking sober, he's slipping and sliding all over this fucking script.
I'm
okay. And when he's drunk, he's on fucking
listen,
point.
I wouldn't even say I'm drunk. I'm
it
just
reminds
enjoying.
Reminds me of South by Southwest when he walked down the street with that ball of wine.
Oh my god! No, he didn't walk.
Himself.
He didn't walk down the street with the bottle of wine. He was cradling the bottle of wine.
Yeah,
like
and
a
he
fucking
was drinking
child.
It. He was well. He was drinking out of it, yes. Out of a bottle of wine, and then that night. I was hysterically laughing because he was the funniest,
I've ever
because
we went
him.
Out to dinner.
Yeah, and he was so fucking,
right.
I could not stop laughing.
Matt was laughing. I was like really impressed
Shout
with
Shout out to
skills.
Sam Single, who was also at dinner that night, and she was not at the level that we were at.
True.
She held her own.
She calculated the bill because I was not
I was
going to
say,
there.
Who was even paying
I know,
for
Matt
that?
Was like, Sam, Sam's the youngest of, Matt's the oldest,
That's
Sam's
right,
the youngest.
Sam is, yeah.
And you and I were off.
Yeah, we were
and
like.
And Matt was like, I could pay 20%.
But
and
that's
Sam
what
was like,
say.
Give it to me.
As funny as that might have been, Matt, I feel like you were just in a place where everything was funny maybe, and like maybe I'm not that funny of a guy, but I appreciate the compliment. I'll take what I can get. Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, take
it. No, that's not true.
But refill his goddamn fucking drink.
Well, Crystal, back to this quick story here. Well, Crystal alleged that three of the men at the party raped and sexually assaulted her in the house's small bathroom. That's according to Vanity Fair. It was an explosive story and one you might remember from the news. I kind of do remember this. I was in college at the time and I do remember hearing about things going down in North Carolina, but I just don't quite recognize the name myself. The fact that Crystal was black and all of the lacrosse players except for one on the team were white only added fuel to the media frenzy, which, you know, it's always about race no matter how you look at it. It seems like a lot of these things that make these national news, you know, really are focused on race. Police immediately investigated, gave Crystal a photo lineup of everyone at the party, and she picked out three men who were arrested. A journalist told Snap, quote, "This case was the perfect storm. The perception of Duke for many people," oh, I am remembering this now, "is that it is an elitist university for privileged young people. So you have that on one hand. Then on the other hand, you have a low-income African-American woman down on her luck, having a difficult life, and she accuses these three young men from the university of a horrible crime," end quote.
Wow.
Yeah, I didn't quite put the Duke stuff together, but yes, I remember this.
I'm sorry. What the fuck is lacrosse? I'm sorry. Go ahead. Continue.
Hilarious.
A lot of people play lacrosse, Matt. You got to be careful with that one. But so according to Vanity Fair, Mike Nifong, the district attorney, was convinced that a crime had occurred after a police investigation and a nurse's examination had happened. The indictments created a firestorm that played out in the media, including this publication, and on cable news channels and all across the internet. It ignited a national debate about sexual assault on college campuses that rages to this day. This is all according to Vanity Fair, of course.
Yeah.
And it does rage to this day. I feel like we hear about some of these crazy things that go on at college campuses pretty often. I feel like this was kind of like one of the first big ones.
No, we definitely do, and it absolutely happens. I mean, certainly with fraternities, definitely the stereotype of a lax bro.
right.
This whole thing.
Oh, you're right. That might have been like where this started.
Yeah.
An attorney for Duke's lacrosse team said, quote, "Crystal really was kind of the focus of a national fight over civil rights, over black rights, over women's rights, over all of those kinds of things," end quote.
You know, all those kinds of things.
Or maybe
you
over,
know, black rights, women's rights,
yeah,
you know, those things.
Those minor things, right?
Yeah.
Well, Duke canceled the lacrosse season, fired the coach, and divided the nation politically. This is all I'm remembering this like very well now. Crystal published a book about her experience called The Last Dance for Grace, The Crystal Mangum Story, in which she wrote, quote, "I want to assert without equivocation that I was assaulted," end quote.
Okay.
So she's holding the line there for sure. But defense lawyers and bloggers who follow the case really closely portrayed the rape allegations as a scandal. According to the New York Times, their points were, quote, "That there is only the flimsiest physical evidence of rape, that the accuser is an unstable fabricator, and that Mr. Nifong, in the middle of a tight primary campaign, was summoning racial ghosts for political gain," end quote.
Wow.
That's pretty bold,
Like, racial ghosts.
Yeah. What do those look like,
I don't
by the
know.
Way? Yes.
Well, I don't fucking know. We don't even talk about race with ghosts. This is a whole new layer I'm so concerned with.
I mean, the interesting thing to me about this case, too, is that the conversation, you know, like now there's been the Me Too movement, and this is well before that. And
yeah, totally.
This woman has allege that her former boyfriend and other people kidnapped her and raped her, and then her husband took her into the woods and threatened to kill her. And none of these things, like, turned out to be true that we know of.
Yeah.
Maybe they were, but we don't know.
They were alleged.
But now she's alleging these things about the... It's like, it's just interesting because I feel like now there would be even more pressure to
believe,
because obviously, like, most women, when they say they've been raped, they've been raped.
Of course.
You know?
Yeah.
But, like, it's just, it's the culture, a fascinating, it's a cultural thing.
It's changed, yeah.
It's definitely changed. I think people are paying more attention to it, but I still think, regardless of, you know, it matters, like, you believe everyone you hear, yes, absolutely, but you are innocent until proven guilty across all boards of any crime that is ever committed, including rapists, including murders. You have to be proven beyond a reasonable doubt under the court of law that you are guilty. And so even with Harvey Weinstein, if you look at his case now, right, over 80 or 90 allegations have come out against this guy, but only two witnesses are able to testify in this whole case. Mm-hmm. And the reason that is for whatever. But the problem is those cases are so hard because you have to come out and you have to say something. Otherwise, we have no defense against these terrible fucking people. Mm-hmm. As much as you threaten your life. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm just saying we have no defense because it's, unless there's a camera rolling in your bedroom at
That's
all
what
times,
I've always been saying, yeah.
We're never going to be able to prove it. And right. So we have to do the best thing that we possibly can to tell as many people as possible.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, also according to the Times, quote, the array of photographs used to identify the suspects violated generally accepted guidelines for lineups because it included only lacrosse team members.
Okay, so I understand that.
And they were all at the party.
Yeah.
Right. And so also you're going to get false testimony.
There was no one, she couldn't have picked a wrong suspect.
That's true. That's a great way to put it. If you only have a certain pool of people, that's how it goes.
Yeah.
The Washington Examiner wrote that it was, quote, a rigged photo lineup that Mangum was told consisted solely of the 46 white members of the Duke lacrosse team, enabling her to pick out the three defendants in a pin the tail on the donkey process, end quote.
Well, right. I mean, if they're just looking for someone to blame, then,
yeah,
you know, any of one of those guys, and sometimes you're just a victim of where you were at the time that the crime is committed, but it shouldn't be that way.
Yeah. Also, no one, not even the other dancer, corroborated the rape allegations. According to the Times, here's what everyone did agree happened at the party. Quote, the women wearing see-through outfits started dancing about midnight. A photo taken by one player shows two women together on the floor surrounded by seven young men, many holding drink cups. A few minutes later, one of the men said something about using a broomstick in a sexual manner. The dancer stopped, an argument ensued, using a racial epithet, someone yelled, that they had asked for white dancers, not black ones, end quote.
Okay, so that's a different, not a crime, but it's a different thing being said here. Well, you know what I mean? And like, witnesses and allegations are very important. I mean, that's a racist, fucking horrible thing to say, but rape is not necessarily in that same category.
Exactly. Rape is not, but they're fucking douchebags.
100%, but being a douchebag doesn't necessarily make you a rapist.
Right. Yeah,
and so
yeah.
It's important to just separate these guidelines because I feel like a lot of words are tossed around, especially today, especially with 2020, that it's very important that we just like state what we fucking know.
I agree. The DNA evidence also failed to match any of the players to her allegations or anyone else on the lacrosse team, but it did show that other men had been with Mangum the week before. The repercussions were huge, and from Vanity Fair, there was reporting that says, quote, for the first time in its history, the state bar brought charges against a sitting district attorney, Nifong, for being too outspoken and concealing the crucial DNA evidence.
Huh.
9 months into the case, Nifong dropped the rape charge and offered Mangum the chance to abandon the entire case, but she refused his offer. She said she wanted justice, end quote.
Yet he did go on news programs and he actually said, I have no doubt that she was raped, and it was, you know, sort of early, so he was really out there with it.
Yeah. Well, the Daily News wrote, quote, the case became one of the most racially charged trials in recent memory, end quote. ESPN even wrote, quote, the case heightened longstanding tensions in Durham about race, class, and the privileged status of college athletes, end quote.
I'm sure it did. And we have a number of cases now that we can, you know, point to in the past 5 years that have certainly done that. In the middle of all this unfolding in January of 2007, Crystal gave birth to another baby, though she explained that it was not from the alleged rape. She had met another man, but the relationship didn't work out. Ultimately, the original DA, Mike Nifong, was disbarred and removed from the case. The new attorney general decided that not only was this case of false accusations, but the men were completely innocent.
Okay.
He called the original DA, Nifong, a rogue prosecutor, according to Vanity Fair. The three wrongfully accused Duke lacrosse players are thought to have received as much as $20 million each in a confidential settlement with Duke, according to Vanity Fair. It's just interesting, though, that like it all started out as like these white privileged boys, and then they're ending up with $20 million. But you know what? If they were falsely accused, that does make sense, because just because you're white and you're privileged and you're rich doesn't make you a rapist, well, and it doesn't make you. You shouldn't be seen as such. And Crystal Mangum became an outcast in the community. She wasn't able to get a job, rent an apartment, or write her full name anywhere without being turned down. That's sort of how I feel about Casey Anthony.
Yeah.
You know,
similar
like,
circumstances.
I know she was found innocent in her trial, but it's like everyone knows the name Casey Anthony.
Well, for whatever reason, right?
Yeah. Exactly. Well, but let's skip back to this incident with Reggie Day, okay? Yeah. Well, it seemed like Crystal was the perpetrator that had stabbed Reggie. A mysterious 911 call from a child, Crystal's son, gave a new perspective. Why don't you be the dispatcher and I will be the caller, which is Crystal's son.
And can I just say, as someone with children, before you read this, to me, this is the saddest part.
Yeah, I'm not even going to... Yeah.
Children calling 911 at this age. I just...
It's heartbreaking.
It's horrible. Anyway, well, go ahead.
And good point, because it's a good preface for what we're about to say. So again, John is the dispatcher of 911, and I'm the caller, which is Crystal's son.
Durham 911, what is your emergency?
Yes, this dude was trying to beat my mom, and my mom was...
Okay, tell me exactly what's happened.
My mom was trying to defend herself, and she accidentally stabbed him.
Okay, and what is your name, please?
Please just hurry up and get here. It's a lot of trouble. We need you to get here, like, seriously.
And
end quote.
Wow.
The amount of, like, fucked upness. Well, an officer told Snap that, quote, she was lying on the floor. She was obviously distraught and upset. Her clothing appeared torn. I recall there being a lip that was swollen. There was a small cut on the backside of one of her hands. Her hair was a mess. She looked like she was an exhausted mess. And officers had a time trying to just get her off the floor and composed enough to transport her to the police department for further investigation.
Wow.
Okay, well, let me just say this, though. Regardless of the facts, you know, we always talk about emotion. If you stab someone, this is sort of the reaction you'd want to see from someone who wasn't a killer through and through. You know, what you don't want to see is someone who's like,
right.
Who has no reaction at all, no empathy, no whatever. You don't want to see a me, you want to see a John.
I was just going to say,
You want to see a John. he continued, quote, the injuries that I observed on Miss Mangum, in my opinion, would appear. Did you just...
I don't know.
John just fell down.
Okay, I'm in one of these, like, I'm like literally leaning up. My seat just completely decompressed in the middle of your speech, and I'm now like 3 feet lower than I just was. And now I'm going to try to get back up. Okay, I don't know what just happened.
I heard a click.
It was like, psss, and I just fell to the ground. All right, Darren, continue. Sorry about
that. So he continued, quote, the injuries that I observed on Miss Mangum, in my opinion, would appear that she had been on the receiving end of an assault, end quote. So even though the son is saying he stabbed her, it also seems like maybe this was out of self-defense, because she doesn't seem perfectly normal, you know, in air quotes I'm using here.
Right.
But Crystal wasn't talking about what happened. She immediately asked for an attorney. The son is saying that she stabbed him.
Yeah, right.
But I think, you know, when we look at how she looks at it, it almost seems like it could be self-defense, right? Because she looks kind of mangled.
Right. If she's all mangled, then who knows what happened.
So, but Crystal wasn't talking about what happened. She immediately asked for an attorney. Her wounds were treated and she was charged with assault with a deadly weapon. And she knew there were more charges coming if Reggie didn't survive.
Oh, God. Okay.
Luckily, Reggie's surgery was successful and he was talking to police, giving his version of the story. Reggie said that April 2nd in 2011, he and Crystal were supposed to have a really big day together. Crystal's attorney explained, quote, their relationship had kind of gotten to a new level. Reggie had actually taken her to a family picnic to meet his family. This was the first time that, you know, he had kind of said, this is my girlfriend, here's my family, end quote.
Big
which
moment.
Is a big moment, big deal. Anytime anyone meets my family, I feel like this is like a declaration of love.
For sure.
But on the way back, Crystal had started talking with a cop she knew in the parking lot where they lived, and Reggie got upset at her, and they started fighting. Crystal's attorney told Snapped, quote, she started talking to him, and Reggie got upset. Reggie got jealous, saying, you know, I just introduced to my whole family, you know, what are you doing? Why are you flirting? End quote. Again, she's talking to a cop.
Yeah, right.
Okay. The officer checked on them, but Crystal said they were okay, and the officer told them to stop yelling outside and go inside.
I wish we could say that to people, because the amount of yelling that goes on in the streets of New York.
I know. Can you go inside the Starbucks, please?
Can you just go away?
Well, unfortunately, that made the argument worse. Mm-hmm. And Crystal's attorney said, quote, he had been drinking and he got insanely jealous. I mean, this was not what he had expected. This was not what the evening was supposed to end like.
Oh, my God.
And we know how quickly these things can escalate.
It's right.
You know, especially when you're drinking.
Yeah.
Your awareness of what's going on is elevated or de-elevated.
I was just
going
to say.
It's not rational.
I can tell you now from my level of drinking, I don't know what's going on around me.
You don't even know that we're recording an episode.
My chair just somehow decompressed itself.
Deflated.
Me, which could have been my fault, but I have no idea. Well, Reggie admitted to hitting her and that she tried to get away. An officer told Snap, quote, he stated that Ms. Mangum, why am I getting that wrong every time?
Drunk.
Mangum. I keep wanting to say Magnum for some reason.
You want to say Magnum, and I know exactly why you do, John.
An officer told Snap, quote, he stated that Ms. Mangum had fled into the bathroom and locked the door behind her and that he pursued her by forcing the door in to go after her, end quote. Reggie even admitted to kicking the door down and pulling her out. He then said he calmed down and started walking out the door when Crystal grabbed a knife, ran at him, and stabbed him in the side.
Jesus.
It was a tough story to decipher. An investigator told Snap, quote, there were two people that were actively engaged in the violent confrontation, and that in and of itself can make it a complex scene to try to determine, you know, at what point and where were each party involved in the confrontation and to what degree, end quote.
Well, that's the thing, right? And this is sort of what I'm talking about with rape allegations too, or sexual assaults. Like, if there's not a camera there, it's a he said, she said, and even though we can see the wounds on her or her being distraught, it doesn't necessarily mean that something happened.
Yeah, that's true. Then the case took a different turn. Reggie ran a fever, fell into cardiac arrest, and went into a coma, suffering significant brain damage. His family decided to pull life support.
Oof.
Reggie's nephew said, quote, it was very shocking. It was very disappointing. It was hurting. It was angry. It was so many emotions at one time, because I'm assuming that I would see my uncle again, standing upright, walking and talking, being his happy, normal self. And I never got that chance to see him standing upright again. I had to watch him laying in a coffin, and I never thought that was going to happen. I just knew after he left in that ambulance a couple days later, he would be coming home. And I didn't go see him while he was in the hospital because I knew he was going to walk out that door, end quote. That's heartbreaking.
I think about that all the time.
Me
with
too.
Any family member that I have. I recently had a family member that passed away, and we weren't close, but I often think about her recently because I'm like, not that there's anything that I could have done. You know, she died kind of, not unexpectedly, but in a way that probably could have been prevented. And, you know, I was just kind of like, should I have had a relationship with her?
I know.
Or, you know, there's a lot to think about when someone passes.
I think about that with people that aren't even in my, like, family, like friend, like high school friends. I hear from that, unfortunately, from time to time. And I'm like, God, like, if things would have been, like, what if I was a better friend to that person? You just never know.
Or said the one thing that maybe they needed to hear.
Totally. That's true, too.
Yeah.
Well, and it was an extra bad for Crystal because she was now charged with murder in a town where everybody knew her reputation. Crystal decided to talk.
I can't imagine that. This kind of reminds me a little bit of Amanda Knox.
Yeah, it does have a vibe.
Where everyone knows who Amanda Knox is.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, she claimed Reggie had started drinking in the morning before they left for the family picnic and was already drunk when he got there. When they returned home around 1 a.m., the police officer called Crystal by her name in a friendly manner, and Reggie went into a jealous rage. When they went inside the apartment, she claimed Reggie hit her repeatedly until she locked herself in the bathroom. The Washington Times reported that she said, quote, he straddled me, hit me, and then he started choking me. I couldn't breathe. My head hurt real bad, end quote. So this her side of the story is still clearly chaotic and chaos. But the story really differs when it comes to what happened next. Crystal claimed that Reggie got the knives and started throwing them at her she was target practice.
Jesus.
The journalist said, quote, she's trying to hide and dodge them. Eventually, they end up on the floor. She claims he tried to choke her and that she picked up one of those knives, stabbed him in the side, and then ran out of the apartment, end quote. Now, remember, one of the details at the very beginning of the show was that there was a knife just randomly in the couch.
Right.
And that stuck out to me because it's
target
like...
target practice.
Right, because are you trying to stab a person and then, like, you just leave it in there like a murder type of movie
but
or something.
Certainly, if you throw it and you miss, exactly. You're not going to like run over there and get it.
Good point. Take a drink. Well, Crystal might be telling the truth, but her history of fabrications is certainly on everyone's mind. Still, her attorney is confident and told Snap, quote, "I think we did have a good chance to beat the murder charge. I think you had a good argument for self-defense. By his own admission, she had locked herself into a bathroom and he kicked in the door and drug her out by her hair, at which point he was stabbed," end quote. So that's true. That's on both sides
happened,
of the story.
Yeah, I'm fucking defending myself.
Yeah, because if you're actively trying to kill someone, then you're not going to the bathroom to lock the door behind you. You know,
exactly.
You're obviously escaping something. But the prosecution had a lot going for them, too. They portrayed Crystal as an unstable woman with a long history of questionable behavior. It played to all the possible preconceived notions that jurors might have of Crystal as one of the most notorious people in the state. On November 15th, 2013, the state called one of their star witnesses, a man named Milton Walker, and an ex-boyfriend of Crystal's.
This story is fucking insane.
It is.
No, it is.
Every line
so
is crazy.
Many layers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's just crazy. Yeah.
Well, Milton testified that 14 months before Reggie's stabbing, he had gotten in a fight with Crystal and she had threatened him with a knife. But there's more to the story, okay?
Oh my God.
An investigator told Snap, quote, "There was an argument that had occurred. She had allegedly taken some belongings of the boyfriend to the bathroom and had set them on fire."
Just very casual. Nothing to see here.
Crazy ex-girlfriend type stuff. When police arrived and Milton was talking to officers, Crystal went into the kitchen, got a knife, and came after him. ESPN reported that, quote, "In a videotaped police interrogation, she told officers she got into a confrontation with her boyfriend at the time, not Day, and burned his clothes, smashed his car windshield, and threatened to stab him."
This sounds like a Carrie Underwood song. Jesus Take the Wheel or
oh
whatever.
Oh my God.
That's.
I was listening to Dan Savage's podcast this morning about this guy, and he was like, "My girlfriend, like every time they get into a fight, like she won't pick up our kids from daycare and does this and burns my clothes and takes a picture of my social security card and then takes out credit cards under my name."
Oh my God.
And Dan Savage is just like, "Yeah, break up with her."
Yeah, what are you doing?
And
yeah.
Why does she have access to your social security card?
Right. By the way, the Carrie Underwood song is Before He Cheats,
Before
not
cheats.
Jesus Takes the Wheel.
Yeah, but you
what
know what?
What is wrong with me?
Jesus Take the Wheel on you
but
being
still,
drunk.
That's true. Jesus needs to take the wheel right now.
Well, police luckily were there to stop her, and she was charged with arson. The single-story duplex where she lived had heavy smoke damage, but thankfully no one was hurt.
I'm thinking, do you remember Lisa Left Eye Lopez? How she burnt down
her house.
Boyfriend's house.
Shoes in the bathtub,
yeah.
And then it was like the whole house. Yeah. Sadly, her 9-year-old daughter had called 911 for help. Thank God a 9-year-old knows to call 911.
Again, this is the heartbreaking thing.
Yeah.
These children are in the middle of this whole thing repeatedly.
Yeah, endlessly.
What do you teach your kids about 911?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Like, do you say if there's an emergency, if there's something, you call 911? Because
absolutely.
And Maggie has
absolutely.
An iPhone, right? You've talked about that before.
Maggie has an iPhone.
And you're not worried they're calling them as a prank, which
I
kids
did
do.
That. I did
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I know.
I'm not at all. No, I just, I
they're,
they know
they're
to call
angelic.
911. And also,
they are.
No, they, like through school, they know, you
okay.
know, so like.
So they probably
they know
the significance and not to joke around with it and that kind of thing.
They know.
Yeah.
Unlike their father. The Associated Press reported, quote, "Durham County jail records indicated that she was also charged with identity theft, communicating threats, damage to property, resisting an officer, and misdemeanor child abuse."
Oh, my God.
The similarities between the two incidents were just absolutely uncanny. Crystal's attorney said, quote, "Milton's testimony was bad for us because it set the pattern of when she gets mad at somebody, she will actually go into the kitchen, grab a weapon, and come back."
Mm.
And the state's position was, had the police not been there, she'd have stabbed Milton too,
wow.
End quote. On November 22nd, 2013, Crystal was found guilty. The Daily News wrote, "Crystal Gail Mangum, 34, was sentenced to a minimum of 14 years in prison on the second-degree murder charge, crying as the jury came back Friday with a unanimous verdict after just 6 hours of deliberations," end quote. 6 hours
That's
for
not
someone
much.
Who's going to be put to jail is not that much.
Right.
Her attorney said, quote, "I think the jury just found the story is more credible," and said, "No matter what Reggie had done, when he let her go, she had a choice to make, either leave or go get a knife and stab him. And she chose to get the knife and stab him. And I think that's what the jury believes."
That's interesting because you kind of get the sense that there was some sort of like understanding of what was going on here. The jury thinks that she could have left.
Yes.
Which who knows if that's even 100% true.
But she made the choice to
exactly.
go back. A friend of Crystal said, quote, it was almost like the O.J. Simpson. You know, we didn't get you for the first thing, the Duke lacrosse, okay. But we're going to get you now.
I was kind of thinking that, too. Yeah.
So Crystal lost her appeals. She's projected to be released in 6 short years in 2026.
This story is so crazy. Mac made a great point. It was so many different layers going on here. And I think, you know, we may never know the truth about exactly what went down with all of this drama. But I think what we can all agree on is that Crystal has led a very tumultuous life. And hopefully the kids aren't too affected by, you know, a lot of the kind of bad decision making that went on in her life.
And
you know?
I think this case is a really good representation of, like, you know, yeah, we believe everything, but at the same time, don't believe anything until you actually have proof of it. And I think that's one of the better things. I think everything is worth an investigation, certainly, you know, an accusation or something like that. But at the same time, people are innocent until they are proven guilty. And whether or not how we feel about how Crystal grew up in her life that might have made her this way, I still think it's important for the people that she affected and killed that we give
justice.
Yeah, they give justice to them, and that they, you know, they might not have been as abusive as we all think. And I mean, there's definitely a sad story on both sides of this.
Totally.
I certainly think as a witness and as a citizen of the world that we owe it to both sides to hear their story, as heinous as either side is.
That is such a good point. Take a drink.
Take a really good drink.
You know what?
I finished two of my drinks.
The both sides.
So did Megan.
Megan was just saying me too. Matt paused again.
Matt is so pausy with Megan's fingers. Chop off all your fucking fingers.
That's funny. No, it's understandable.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
No, the both sides is what I think gets me in this case, because on the one hand, Crystal seems like there's something going on there.
Exactly.
Where there's like some kind of
possible
mental health issues.
Could be a nature nurture thing.
And there are a lot of accusations. Obviously, some of them seem to be completely fucking false. How you select three human beings who raped you, who are you going to send to prison, basically, who didn't do that, that's so fucked up. But at the same time, like, the whole like race, class, privilege, athlete thing, and these guys hired her to come into their fucking house and then make some sort of obscene broomstick fucking gesture and say, like, we hired white women, not black women, strippers, and like, fuck them.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
No,
like
absolutely.
You're horrible fucking trash people. Seriously.
I don't know if we're going to be able to keep that, but yes, I agree with what you're saying.
But I mean, I do think, like, listen, I mean, even if she was assaulted, raped, everything that she said that she was, even if she accused the three wrong people who were on the Duke lacrosse team, who were all white, who may have said that thing, doesn't justify them going to prison for something they never did. But I think that what you said and what I think the case said highlights the fact that it's very important to understand all the facts of everything and not to be biased of it because she's black or they're white and they go to Duke and they're lacrosse players. We're all human beings. We all fucking matter. And even though that there's definitely a racial bias in drug war, in a lot of police brutality, I think it's important to just hear all the facts before we set standards of how we want to determine how the case should turn out.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I will say this, having just said what I said, these three guys did not deserve to go through this.
Exactly.
They went through, it was more than a year that they were in court.
Yeah.
That people probably thought they were like animals, they committed a heinous act that they did not commit. Like, I actually feel bad for them, although, they're douchebags, but whatever. But I do feel bad for them because, like,
but even douchebags shouldn't deserve.
Yeah, they don't deserve prison time for being an asshole.
Like, frat boy lacrosse players.
Exactly.
Like,
which is not a crime.
They should be able to keep playing their, like.
I don't think they should have sex again, but I don't think it's a crime. That's, I'm going to go on the record.
Matt was going to say they should be able to keep playing their lacrosse.
Video games.
Their video
games.
He doesn't know how sports works.
Well, let us know what you guys think about this very complicated layered case on social media using hashtag Martinis and Murder, or you can tag us at Jay Thrasher, at Carpe Darren, and at Matt the Bartender.
Yes.
Let's do listener shout outs.
Okay.
Julie on Twitter says, always keeping things light and fun with heavy topics. Martinis and Murder is a favorite podcast. Thanks for all the laughs.
Ah, Julie, thank you.
You're
I
welcome.
Feel like that's shouting me out.
Yes.
Because everyone else is so fucking
Everyone's
dull.
The worst,
yeah,
right?
Is yeah, the worst. This so, one, thank you.
This one that you're going to read is for Matt, and I didn't tell him beforehand, and I forgot.
Well, B on Twitter asks, what was the pineapple sparkling water that was used for this week's martini? French martinis are my favorite, and this sounds good. Matt?
Do you happen to remember? I should have asked you before the show. Was it just a regular
no,
pineapple sparkling?
He fucking
sparkling?
Knows. He doesn't
know. Bubbly?
A bubbly?
Bubbly?
Brand?
Must have been.
Mike Bublé.
Megan is a genius.
Megan's on top of everything.
She's the only one so who knows.
No, but
anything.
Megan's drink. You've had how many drinks did you have, Megan? Three. So we're all a little bit crazy.
I know,
here.
But Megan like has a job to do.
Well, it's a testament to Megan's professionalism that she can
That's
actually
true.
Answer questions.
It ain't a testament to us. I'll tell you that.
I'm
right?
Literally
in the fucking building.
I'm literally over here. My seat.
Why
is like
that cursing?
Falling.
This
apart.
Is a tasteful podcast.
Is it though?
Well, from my standpoint, I'm very tasteful.
Okay, my
very
eyes.
Very adult.
My eyes are a little droopy.
Sleeping.
My boss should have been escorted out of the building
three
different
times.
We go
to DC tomorrow. Are you ready?
Going to DC tomorrow.
You ready?
Yes, I am ready. Actually, not really, because we have to add a couple things to the show, which we haven't talked about yet. Oh. Just a quick little thing.
Let me know on stage.
Worry about. Nothing
you
to
know?
Worry about.
I have an impromptu listener shout out.
Here we go.
It's from Kristen Hart.
Read it with enthusiasm and with your mouth on the mic. Thank you.
And I'll have to show you. She, For the Richard Speck case. No, for the Kalamazoo case.
Okay, that we covered last week.
Driver, yep. Yes. I got the coordinates wrong.
Oh.
And John read them wrong because I... Got
gave me the wrong.
Wrong
ones. Okay.
Yeah,
so Detroit is not south of Kalamazoo. It's east. And she wrote this map.
With like squiggly lines on it.
And she wrote north, west, east, south.
North,
I'm sorry.
What's happening?
North, east, south, and west.
I live in the north suburbs of New Jersey, and I live on the east coast.
I live on the upper west side.
My brother lives on the west coast.
I just said lib instead of live. Goodbye, guys. This
guys,
is a mess.
Just end it. Thank you.
I'm sorry that you
no,
had to do
I have
it.
To finish.
Who said that, though? Who said that, though?
Okay.
Who said that?
Oh. Just give these to us for the future so we can read
Let
them.
Us know.
Pausing,
it
lots
is
of white.
Kristen Hart.
Thank Kristen. Thanks a fucking Lord.
Oh, you're going to read it. Okay. He's got his glasses on.
I have my glasses on. She wrote, listening to Uber Driver Killer.
A little bit into the mic.
Podcast. Martinez a murderer. And LOL'd at John saying, quiet college town when describing Western Michigan University!
Mm-hmm.
I'm a former alumni. But when he said Detroit was to the south of Kalamazoo,
okay.
Matt, we blame you for those poor descriptions.
Thank
yes,
God.
Thank you. I'm glad you
Love
finally
the show and all of y'all.
Yeah, listen, we are not people of the United, like we don't travel all over the place. So I'm relying on Matt to give me the right information in the research. If he can't provide that for me, that's all I can do is give you that information as I'm reporting it.
I mean, I'm upset. You're upset.
Everyone's upset.
Everyone's upset. We're all drunk.
Let's all go to our Upper West Side apartments.
Yes, I'm
going
to go to my
here.
Upper East Side apartment. I'm going to go watch a lot of television.
All right. Tune in Thursday. We're going to do a recap of the DC show. We'll see you guys next time.
Bye.
Bye.
So you want to be president? My podcast is about what it takes to get the nomination. 6 episodes, 6 timeless themes that separate the few winners from the many losers.
So you want to be president with Chris Matthews. Subscribe for free wherever you get your podcasts.